just tuned to yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, horror. Later on, a classic episode of Inner Sanctum from 1952. But right now, it's a broadcast of The Clock with the story Retribution. This episode heard on April 3rd, 1956.
Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
Seen a ghost? I mean a real, honest-to-goodness phantom, complete with translucent bedsheet and staring eyes, surrounded by a sickly greenish glow. Have you? Well, I've spent many a night in my niche above the sexton's bedroom window, watching the acres of tombstones in the graveyard below by the light of the silvery moon, checking off the witching hours without so much as even seeing a bony hand or chilling to the anguished wail of a tortured spirit. However, ghosts do exist for some people. Only to them it's known as retribution.
It's good to get out of the city, isn't it?
I'll say it is.
You don't know what these afternoons mean to me, Vera. You don't know how insufferable it is for me to see you only once a week. Vera.
Yes?
How long must this go on?
How long must what go on?
Us seeing each other on the sly this way. It isn't fair to either of us.
Just what do you want me to do, George?
You can get a divorce. If you tell your husband how we feel about each other,
Do you think I'm out of my mind?
Is it too much to ask?
You're very attractive, George. The last 2 months with you have been interesting.
Interesting? Is that all it's meant to you?
You know, it's meant a lot more. After all, he does have money and a great deal of it.
Sometimes you frighten me, Vera.
Do I?
You're so cold-blooded. About us.
I'm afraid you don't completely understand me.
Perhaps I don't.
I hardly know my husband. We met 2 months ago and we were married inside of a week. Then, unfortunately, I met you.
Unfortunately? Is that how you feel?
Oh, Frank's unattractive. He's dull. But he's given me what I've always wanted. Beautiful clothes, home that other women envy. I could have been happy with Frank in a boring way if you hadn't come along.
Then I have made a difference.
Oh, a big difference, darling. I'm madly in love with you.
Oh, Vera.
What's your driving, darling?
Oh, Vera, we've got to do something. We can't go on this way.
That's what I've been thinking. Sooner or later, he'll get suspicious. And he'll divorce me. That won't be so good.
Why not?
Because he'd cut me off without a cent.
Oh, is that all you think of, money?
Oh, I also think of you. Very often. How nice it would be for us to see each other all the time. Not just a few hours each week.
Well, there's only one answer.
Yes. It's not what you imagine. Why stop here?
What do you mean? It's not what I imagine.
Well, I've planned it very carefully, George. All I need is a little help.
Help? For what?
To kill my husband.
Well, but Vera, you're out of your mind.
Am I? All right. Forget I ever mentioned it. If you're not man enough to face facts, it's just too bad.
But murder...
Oh, it's easy, I tell you. The way I've planned it, it's perfect. No one could possibly find out. It's so simple, it makes me wonder why I didn't think of it before.
Oh, no, 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 Vera. It's out of the question.
You won't even listen to what I have to say?
No.
Then turn around and let's go back.
But you're asking me to...
My husband's got money, George, and a great deal of money. We'll go away together, Paris, the tropics, just you and I. And we'll really live.
Live? With that on our conscience?
Conscience? You talk about a conscience. Your conscience doesn't bother you much when you see another man's wife.
Oh, you can be cruel when you want to be.
I know what I want, and I take it when I want it. Ought to realize that by now. I tell you, I've got a plan for the perfect murder. It can't miss. And we'll be absolutely safe. You can either listen to me or take me home for good.
What kind of plan do you have?
I can't understand why you insisted on our driving upstate today, Vera. I was looking forward to having dinner in town.
But I know the most wonderful place, Frank. It's only a few miles from here. The city's been stuffy lately without you.
Oh. Did you miss me while I was away?
Like mad.
Sweet.
Now, keep your eye on the road, darling. We don't want any accidents. Make a right turn up there, dear.
But we're on the main highway now.
Follow my directions, darling, and we won't get lost.
You're the doctor. Vera, it's true we haven't been married very long, but I must say, you haven't shown much interest in my past.
Do you have any deep, dark secrets?
Well, not exactly. It seems to me that a wife ought to be just a little interested in a husband's background and his family.
But you told me you hadn't any family.
As a matter of fact...
Frank?
Yeah?
Look at that poor man standing in the road waiting for a lift.
Oh, hitchhiker, apparently.
Well, let's give him a break.
Oh, I don't usually like to pick up hitchhikers.
We can't pass him up. My conscience will be absolutely haunting if we do.
All right, all right. You certainly do have your whims. Like a lift, mister.
How far are you going?
Oh, just a few miles up the road.
Oh, well, a few miles will help.
You can get in the back.
Thanks, lady. I'm on my way to Albany. Haven't had too much luck on the road up to now.
Must be tiresome waiting for people to give you a lift.
Oh, I don't mind. I've been doing it for quite a while.
Sorry, we're not going much farther.
That's all right. I appreciate it anyway.
Oh, Frank.
What is it, dear?
Stop the car.
Stop? What for?
Look, I think I've made a terrible mistake.
What's the matter now?
I haven't been up this way in so long, I'm afraid I made you take the wrong way.
There's a farmhouse just behind those trees.
I'll go in and ask if we're on the right route to the New England Inn.
Never mind, dear. You stay where you are. I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Be careful. There may be brambles.
I'll be all right.
Quick. Get into the front seat, George.
Oh, Vera, I can't go through with it.
Are you turning chicken-hearted on me?
I've never even seen you before. How can I kill a man?
You'll either go through with this or, so help me, you'll never see me again. Don't you see how simple it is? We've checked everything thoroughly, haven't we?
Yes, but...
We know that farmhouse is deserted, and there's rarely any traffic on this road. No one in the world could possibly suspect...
Shh, he's coming back.
Start the car.
Vera.
If I knew how to drive, I'd do it myself. Start the car, you fool.
No one at home in that farmhouse. Hey, what's the idea?
Hit him.
Where are you going? Hey!
Vera.
He's lying on the road behind us. Back up.
What?
Back up over him. You've got to. Let's make sure he's finished.
I can't, Vera.
You idiot, you're ruining everything. Back up, do you hear? All right. Stop the car. Look at you. Oh, get out and start walking. Leave the rest to me. For heaven's sake, pull yourself together when you get back to town.
I'll try.
It's finished. The rest is easy. Aren't you glad now that you listen to me?
Mrs. Bascom?
Yes?
I'm Detective Haynes, Police Department.
Police?
I'm very sorry to trouble you this way. I know what a difficult time you're having, but there are one or two questions. Routine.
I told everything to the motorcycle policeman when he found this.
Well, you were so hysterical at the time, he didn't quite understand you. That's why I'm here, to verify the facts.
We were driving north, and we were supposed to stop off for dinner at the New England Inn.
That's why you were on that side road, is that it?
Yes. Near the farmhouse. One of the tires blew out.
Yes, we found the mail.
My husband left the car to investigate. The flat was in the back. The car was on a hill. As he bent over behind the tire, the car crushed him to death.
What did you do when the car began to move?
I can't drive, but I pulled at the wheel, and the car slid into that ditch where it was found.
You touched absolutely nothing inside the car except the wheel?
I told you I couldn't drive, officer.
Yes, we know that, Mrs. Bascom. Those circumstances made it necessary for us to investigate every aspect of the case. I guess the handbrake could have slipped. It's happened before.
Handbrake?
Well, we found the handbrake on, but not completely set. I'm afraid Mr. Bascom was a bit careless, and carelessness in an automobile is not very healthy.
If you have any more questions, please get them over with.
No. That's all I wanted to ask you, Mrs. Bascom. Well, I'll turn my report in and mark it accidental death.
Vera.
I told you not to come to the house so soon.
No one saw me, Vera. I just couldn't stay alone by myself. I had to have someone to talk to.
All right. Sit down and relax. You look terrible.
Vera, is everything all right?
Of course everything's all right. Could be better. The police have closed the case. They even felt sorry for me, the poor dears. They were sweet.
What then? We have nothing to worry about?
Nothing at all. It was perfect. No one in the world could suspect us.
I'll feel better after a while. I mean, give me a few days to straighten myself out. I'll be all right, Vera.
What you need is a drink.
Yes, I could stand one.
So could I. The funeral was a terrible bore. Thank goodness it's over. What do you have, George? Scotch or rye? George?
Scotch. It's snowing outside.
It started when I came in.
I like the suburbs very much. Let's live here, Vera, when we're married.
Anything you say, darling. Will you take it straight? George, I said, will you take it...
Vera.
What is it?
Vera. Come here.
What is the matter with you?
Out there. On the road.
What?
I saw him, Vera. Standing there, in the snow.
George, will you make sense? Who did you see?
Your husband, Vera. I saw your husband.
From the beginning of time, there have been those who tried to compare the human mind with some well-made machine. And perhaps it's true. For the workings of the intellect are as delicate and as intricate as any mechanism could possibly be. There is one essential difference, however. A machine has no conscience.
Get hold of yourself, you fool!
He was standing there, Vera. I swear I saw him.
Frank is dead and buried. There's no one on that road, and there wasn't before.
Your husband...
Oh, for heaven's sake, George, stop talking like a child. Your nerves are getting the better of you. You need a little rest.
You think it was my imagination?
If you'd just be calm for a moment, you could answer that question yourself.
Yes. Yes, you're right. I didn't see anything, really. Oh, I don't know what's happened to me, Vera. I feel confused, afraid.
What's there to be afraid of? A ghost?
Don't say that.
Oh, really, George? How can you be so ridiculous?
I'm going home.
Wait. You're in no condition to go home alone.
Oh, I'm all right now.
Look, I'll drive into the city with you. We'll use Frank's car. What you need is a little relaxation. Your nerves are going back on you. Tell you what, we'll go somewhere. Some bar where we won't be recognized. I'll get my coat.
Vera.
Well, what now?
Nothing. Go ahead and get it.
Want to sit in the booth?
I'd just as soon stand at the bar.
All right. I'll see you in just a minute.
But where are you going?
I've got to make a phone call. Frank's partner. What's the matter with you? Must you jump at everything I say?
Well, I'd just as soon you wouldn't leave me for long, that's all.
Mama won't leave you, not if Mama can help it. Now snap out of it. Order me an old-fashioned.
What'll be, sir?
Oh, one old-fashioned, one straight rye.
An old-fashioned, one straight rye.
You've got quite a few people in here tonight, haven't you?
Yes, we always fill up about this time, sir. I haven't seen you in here before, have I?
No, I don't think you have.
Mister, you feel okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Why?
Well, you look kind of pale.
Oh, I had a cold for the past few days. It took a lot out of me.
Now, what you need is a rock and rye. Let me fix one up for you.
No, a straight rye's fine.
I tell you, this can't be beat. I even take it myself when... Hey, what's eating you, mister?
That man at the end of the bar.
What man?
Tell him to go away. He's dead, I tell you. Tell him to go away!
Mister, for the love of Mike!
What's the matter, George?
Vera.
Is this guy your husband's lady?
He's all right. Just nerves, that's all.
I saw him again, Vera. I tell you, I saw him
George,
again.
George, for heaven's sake.
He was yelling about some guy at the end of the bar. There's nobody up there but the cashier.
Here. Thanks for your trouble.
Much obliged, lady.
Oh, Vera, I swear I saw him.
Shut up!
You better take him home, lady. He's in bad shape.
He's had too much to drink. Take my arm, George. Be quiet. You sure you're able to drive?
Yes, I can drive.
Well, that was a pretty mess, I must say.
You still don't believe I saw him?
Must be going out of your mind.
Maybe I am. Maybe that's what's happening to me. I don't know.
George?
Well?
Do you know the penalty in this state for murder?
What are you talking about?
Would you like to see us both get the chair?
Don't talk nonsense.
Just keep on acting the way you have been. That's all we need. Just... keep on seeing things. I'll both end up in quick time.
Oh, don't talk that way.
Maybe you're not worried about your own life, but I'm worried about mine. I planned this thing without a hitch, and now you're whining and slobbering our way right into the arms of the police.
But why don't you believe me, Vera? He was standing there. I'll stake my life on it. He was standing there watching.
And what else did he do? Rustle his wings and play a tune on his harp?
Why? I can't make you realize.
That you've seen a ghost? Who do you think you're dealing with, a fool? Are you going nuts or me? Your imagination's running you ragged. You've lost your nerve and you're whimpering like a puppy.
Well, I'm only human. What do you expect me to say and do when...
When what?
Oh, let's not talk about it anymore, Vera.
But we're going to talk about it. This is serious. If I hadn't come back to that bar when I did, you might have said just a little too much. As it is, I'm scared stiff. That bartender might get suspicious.
Oh, he won't remember us. We've never come to this part of town before.
You and I have got to come to an understanding, George.
What do you mean?
Either you learn to control yourself and act like a man, or I can't take the chance of seeing you again.
But you couldn't leave me now,
couldn't
Vera.
Couldn't I? You'd be surprised. When my own life is at stake, baby, I could do anything.
I'll be careful from now on, Vera. I promise I will. Only don't go away.
You've simply got to take hold of yourself and forget that Frank Bascom ever existed.
Oh, if I only could.
You can and you will.
Vera, let's get away.
Get away where?
Anywhere, even for a few days. Let's leave town. If I could only get out of town for a while, I know I'd be all right.
Maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, suppose I drive back to my apartment and get some things, and then we can drive to your home and pick up what you need, and we leave.
You mean tonight?
I've got to get away, Vera. I can't stand here any longer. I'll go crazy if I do.
I picked a fine lover. What have you got running up and down your spine, jelly?
Vera, will you do as I ask?
It doesn't seem to be much choice.
I'll be all right in a day or two. You'll see. A different atmosphere, a different city. Look, we can drive south. Maybe make Miami if we try. It's only 2 days' drive if you keep at it.
Miami wouldn't be bad right now.
No one will know us there. We can swim and dance and pretend that nothing's happened. What do you say, Vera? How about it?
All right. But I don't see any reason to start at this hour.
We can stop over in Washington or someplace like that, but I've got to leave right now. I've got to, Vera.
Turn around and drive back to your apartment. We'll leave for Miami tonight.
You don't believe in ghosts? Well, neither did Vera and George until... But listen as the clock moves on.
I'll park over here and run upstairs. It'll only take me 5 minutes at the most.
Sure you don't want me to go up with you?
That isn't a good idea for the hotel clerk to see us together.
Well, don't tell me you're getting smart at last.
Now that we've decided to leave, I feel 100% better, Vera. I'm beginning to feel like myself once more.
Keep up the good work. I'm liable to start liking you again. Hurry now.
I will.
Good evening, Mr. Bailey.
Good evening, Harry.
It sure is snowing, huh?
Yes.
There's a gentleman been asking for you. He's waiting upstairs. He's been waiting a long time.
What? What does he look like?
Hmm? Oh, about this tall, thin, 45 maybe. Ah, there he is now, coming down the stairs. He wanted...
No. No, it's him. I've got to get out of here.
Mr. Bailey!
George, what is this?
He's in there.
Who?
Frank.
Are you crazy?
The hotel clerk saw him, Vera. He's waiting for me upstairs.
Did you see him too?
No, but the clerk did. He told me he did.
How do you know it wasn't someone else? It could have been someone else, you know. A friend might have dropped in.
It was Frank, your husband. I know it was. But we'll get away. This time we'll make sure to get away.
George, you're driving too fast. The streets are slippery.
I'll get away from him if it's the last thing I do. Vera, look behind us.
What?
There's a car back there. We're being followed. I can see him through the glass.
George, be careful. Slow down and let me out of here.
If this is it, I'm willing to face it. I'm tired of being hounded. We'll get away from him now or never.
You're doing 70, George, for heaven's sake.
70? I'll do 80. I'll fly if I have to. So help me out.
George, no! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
They were going pretty fast, officer. I was right behind them. They're both unrecognizable. I tried to reach them, but I couldn't. But I could see they were both dead.
Callahan, get hold of the morgue.
Right, sir.
Yeah, just one stupid driver after another. One of these days, some people will get it into their heads that a motor car is no tricycle.
The roads were slippery. And they're in a hurry.
Yeah, looks that way. Well, let's get the facts. You the only witness?
Yes.
We'll need you to testify.
Very well.
Better give me your name.
My name is Bascom.
Bascom? It's funny.
What is?
I ran into another case the other day. Guy in his car. His name was Bascom, too. Frank Bascom.
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
Frank Bascom was my brother. My twin brother.
And that is the story of George and Vera as recorded by the clock. Yes, retribution can be a ghost, and a lively ghost at that. And its bony finger can be a substitute for justice.
The clock will be heard again next week, same time, same station. It is written by Lawrence Klee and stars Harp McGuire as the clock. In this program, you heard Nigel Lovell as George and Margaret Christensen as Vera. Others were John Tate as Detective Haynes, Don Crosby as Frank, and Gordon Glenwright as Bascom. The Clock, directed by John Saul, is a Grace Gibson radio production.
The Clock, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 3rd, 1956, a syndicated recording, though the series would use another version of that script about 9 years earlier when they were first on ABC. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now, only about 5 broadcasts before the close of this famous radio series, it's an episode of Inner Sanctum from August 10th, 1952. The CBS broadcast called The Chinese Tile.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you into the inner sanctum once again. Come in. You know, so many people have asked me to explain the significance of the creaking door, but I don't really have to. You see, the door creaks for itself. I was going to have a friend of mine here tonight to give you a short explanation. Being an undertaker by profession, he's an authority on the subject, but he couldn't make it. He's been so busy. Poor chap. He's literally buried in his work. All right, friends. Let's get dreadful. Now, remember, don't scream back at the radio. It won't do you any good. All set? Then listen as we hear our star, Anne Seymour, in the role of Catherine Bryan, tell us this story in her own words.
Flash of lightning, like a giant white electric light, lit up the sky that night as I went up the walk. And Bryan Mansion looked like a huge gabled tomb standing there on the hill. For a moment, I wanted to run. But much as I hated it, I had come back. Not because I lived there. Not because I wanted to be there. But because of this house, I should find out if I was going to live or if I was going to die. I let myself in quietly. Made my way to the living room. There was a rustling of skirts. And Mother suddenly appeared in the dim, shadowy light.
Kathy, Kathy, dear.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, you're so late. I was getting worried.
Was my stepfather worried, too?
Why, yes, dear. Mark is still up. Here, you've got to take your coat off. It's soaked through.
Don't you touch me.
Kathy, darling.
And don't start sniveling over me again, Mother.
I can't stand it.
I was just trying to help you.
Always trying to help me. Why didn't you think of helping me before you married that man upstairs? But no. You're such a pretty woman, Mother. You couldn't possibly be without a husband. What would people say?
Catherine, please, you can't go on like this.
No, I can't. I can't go on very much longer without destroying myself.
You must not say such things.
And why not? It would make you and Mark very happy if I should die, wouldn't it?
Catherine.
No one in this house wants me to go on living.
Good evening, Catherine.
Mark, I didn't know you were here.
I'm aware of that. I heard you.
Mark, she didn't mean it. She didn't mean a word of it.
Oh, but I did. Now that you're both here, there's something I must find out tonight. It's very important.
What is it?
10 years ago, my father died.
Catherine, we can't discuss that now.
We must. I've got to know certain things.
Why?
Because if I don't, something quite dreadful might happen to me.
Now, Catherine, you're exaggerating.
Dr. Wells doesn't think so. I've been going to him for months now. He knows there's grave danger that I'll go completely out of my mind if I don't find out about this.
My poor darling.
Don't pity me, Mother. Help me. Tell me how my father died. You know you were there.
But, Catherine, there's nothing to tell. Your father was killed in an accident. He was a doctor.
That will be enough, Laura.
Mark.
We'll call Dr. Wells the first thing in the morning and discuss the matter with him.
Why don't you let her tell me? What have you got to hide?
We are not going to discuss this until I speak to Dr. Wells. Now, Laura, I suggest you come upstairs as soon as possible. Good night, Catherine.
Mother, he's gone. You are going to tell me. Where was this accident? How did it happen? Who was involved?
Kathy, you're in no state to hear anything right now. Mark was right. We should speak to Dr. Wells about it first.
Yes, speak to him so you both can make up an appropriate lie to tell me. I don't want any lies. I want the truth, Mother. And I'm prepared to go to any length to get it. Look at this.
Now, Catherine.
Look at it, I tell you. Look at it.
What? What is it?
A woman sold it to me. Today. A strange little woman.
It's a sort of tiny painted tile.
Not just an ordinary tile, Mother. It comes from the Orient, the woman said. Do you see this very odd design? If you look at it long enough, she said, a strange thing will happen. You'll find yourself able to talk with the dead. See them wherever they are. Touch them. Catherine, I'm going to talk to my father.
You can't be serious.
You won't tell me what I want to know. Then maybe the dead will. Mother left the room, and I sat down in front of the fireplace, just as I used to when I was a child. I looked at the tile, at the design. The parallel lines and dots began to dance before my eyes. I stared at it. It seemed to hold, control my gaze. And then almost at once, I felt an icy chill, and the design vanished. In its place, there was black, infinite space, filled with shadows and still shadows beyond shadows. Then I noticed a speck of gray come out of that blackness. There was a strange, sulfurous odor in the air. As it came toward me, at first very slowly, and gradually faster and faster, as though it were coming to me through endless years of space. Suddenly, there was an ear-shattering thunderclap. A streak of lightning zigzagged through the room in an insane dance. And I heard the front door close. I heard footsteps approaching. I turned around, faced the doorway, and then I saw him.
Don't scream.
Who are you?
You are Kathy. Kathy Bryan.
You know me?
I did. 10 years ago.
Where did you come from?
Tell me, how do I appear to you?
How you appear?
Yes. Please.
You have white hair, white beard, but your eyes... No, it can't be.
What can't be? that my eyes are the eyes of a corpse, that I look more like a dead man than a living one.
Yes.
That should not be so strange.
Who are you? Did you know my father?
Dr. Brine. Very well. Very well indeed.
How did he die? I want to know that.
He was murdered.
Murdered?
Yes, murdered.
How do you know?
I saw it all.
You?
I was punished for it.
You murdered him?
No, I didn't kill him. He was the only friend I had in the world. That's why I came back here tonight. Didn't you ever know how your father died?
No.
Would you like to know?
More than anything in the world.
He was the kindest of men. And that's what led to his destruction. He took a man under his care. A man who had been given up as a raving maniac. And rather than see this man placed in an institution, he kept him in the guest cottage of his house.
Wait. Wait, I remember now. The man was a poet.
Yes. His name was Dennis D'Amour. Your father believed this man was a great poet and struggled to save him.
Did this man murder my father?
No. No. One evening when your father came in to treat D'Amour, there was a third man in the darkened cottage. This man leaped at your father and drove a knife into his back. The poor madman, frightened, ran over the countryside until he was caught by the police. And he was charged with the murder of your father.
You said you saw all this.
I did.
Then you are...
The madman, Dennis D'Amour.
You're dead?
Perhaps I am.
The murderer. Who was the person who murdered my father?
You know him quite well. He's the man who's now married to your mother, Mark Weldon.
No. Can you prove this?
Your father is the only one who can prove this.
My father. Can you bring him back here?
Bring him back?
You came back. If you could only bring him and prove this.
Prove it? Perhaps I can. Perhaps I will bring him back tonight.
Just then, there was a tremendous thunderclap and the electric lights failed. I tried to see him by the firelight, but he wasn't in the room. I ran to the door, stumbling over furniture in the shadows and screaming for him to wait. I opened the front door, but he wasn't there.
Kathy, we heard you screaming.
Did you, Mother?
What happened?
I found out how my father died.
Really? How?
He was murdered.
Laura, did you tell her anything?
No, not a word, Mark, I swear. Kathy, how did you find out?
I told you how I'd find out.
That tile.
Yes, it worked.
That's impossible.
Of course you'd say that. But I discovered tonight that you, Mark, murdered my father. That you cleverly arranged that a poor patient of his named Dennis D'Amour would be arrested for the crime that you committed.
Who told you this?
Dennis D'Amour.
D'Amour? Was he here?
Yes. He told me everything.
And you believed him?
Why shouldn't I?
Why, the man's a maniac. I don't know how he ever got here. He should be at the state institution for the criminally insane.
Number, please.
Hello, operator. Will you put through a call to the state institution for the criminally insane at Blyton? I wish to speak to whomever is in charge. And call me back as soon as you get them. It's urgent.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Thank you. Now, Catherine, you claim you actually spoke to this man.
Yes, Mark. He told me he saw you murder my father.
Why, you're lucky you escaped with your life. Well, the man is a homicidal maniac. I find it shocking that you should even begin to believe this fantastic story.
But it seems to be true, Mark, doesn't it? My father was murdered, and Dennis D'Amour was sent away for the crime.
Yes, yes, that part of it is true, but to accuse me... Laura, we tolerated her in this enough, but this is... Hello?
Hello, this is Dr. King, the night supervisor of State Institution.
Oh, yes, hello, Dr. King. This is Mark Weldon speaking. Has one of your patients, Dennis D'Amour, escaped?
Dennis D'Amour, the poet?
Yes, that's right, a homicidal maniac.
He hasn't escaped, Mr. Weldon. He was one of the patients who was killed in a fire that broke out in this place 2 years ago.
What's that?
Didn't you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I heard you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Mark, what is it?
Dennis Damore is dead. He was killed 2 years ago.
Well, friend, how'd you like to have a little Chinese tile that can produce dead men for you? Or don't you think that Dennis DeMort is a ghost? Perhaps you think he's just an old pop-eyed poltergeist? Well, we'll know in a moment as we hear Catherine Bryan tell us the second half of her weird story.
My stepfather's hand trembled as he hung up the phone. And even in the red glow of the firelight, I could see his face had suddenly turned snowy white.
It's impossible. The dead can't come back. Unless you're making up this whole thing, Cappy.
Why should I invent a story like this?
Because you've always been insanely jealous. You've always hated your mother for marrying me. Isn't that true, Laura? Isn't it?
Yes. It's true.
There. You see, Catherine? Your mother loves you. She wouldn't lie. Now tell us the truth. You made up this whole wild tale about Dennis Damore, didn't you?
No, Mark. I didn't invent it. Dennis Damore was here.
He couldn't have been. He's been dead for 2 years.
Then how would I know the things I told you?
I don't know. And that's what you've got to explain.
Mark, why does this upset you so? If you didn't murder him, what difference does it make about Damore? Why are you so frightened?
I'm not frightened. I'm just determined to get to the bottom of this thing. What was that?
Just the thunder, Mark.
Laura, why are you looking at me like that?
Like what?
Staring at me. As though you've seen me for the first time. Do you believe this mad story Catherine's told us? Do you think I murdered her father?
I just remembered certain things, Mark. I can't help it if I think of them now.
What things? Tell me, what things?
2 days before the murder, you told me you were in love with me. I sent you away, told you never to come to this house again.
Go on.
On the night of the murder, I saw you standing in the moonlight, near the guest cottage.
You did?
I thought I was mistaken, especially since you claimed you were at home that night. Oh, Mark, don't be angry with me. I can't help it thinking of these things now. It's only natural.
Natural? Is it natural for a man's wife to accuse him of a crime like murder? And on the basis of what? The word of a psychopathic girl who should have been confined long ago. She talked to a man who's been dead for 2 years. I suppose you believe that too. And who is this man, even assuming that he's alive? A madman. A homicidal maniac who took your first husband's life when your husband tried to cure him. Well, I've had enough of this.
Mark, what are you taking out of that drawer?
Kathy, come here.
Why? Mark, put the gun away.
Shut up, Laura. Now, Kathy, I won't hurt you unless you try something dangerous. I'm holding this gun because I believe your mother and I are no longer safe in the same room with you. Now, I want the truth. You were lying to us before, weren't you?
No.
Very well, then. Where is this man you saw? I'd like to see him, too.
I don't know.
Of course you don't, because he doesn't exist.
He does. He appeared when I looked at the Chinese tile.
The Chinese tile? Good. Look at your Chinese tile now. Make him appear.
You're trying to make a fool of me. A liar.
You'll do as I tell you. Look at that tile. Go on.
All right, I will.
Now, what do you see?
Nothing but the design.
Yes, and that's all you're going to see.
No. The design is fading. It's getting dark. Dark. Nothing but blackness.
Mark, I heard the front door. Someone just came in.
Yes.
Those footsteps. That's just how he came in the last time.
Perhaps, but I doubt if it's...
Good evening.
Oh! Oh!
It is, Demore.
You remember me, Laura?
Yes. You've changed a great deal, but it is you.
Mr. Weldon, it's been 10 years since I've seen you.
Demore, then you're not dead. There must have been some mistake when they identified you.
Not dead.
You escaped. Someone must have been identified instead of you. That's the only explanation.
It depends on what you choose to believe, Mr. Weldon. I brought a guest with me.
My father.
Dr. Bryan, I'm sure you know these people quite well. Of course you do.
What's he saying? He's talking to my father.
That's right, Kathy. Unfortunately, you cannot see him. But he is here. Aren't you, Doctor?
Demore, what are you up to?
What do you think?
If you come back here to make trouble...
Trouble? No. I've come back because someone wanted to know the truth. And I've brought the doctor back for the same reason. Doctor, before these others, I want you to tell us who murdered you. Who murdered you?
Mark! You shot him!
Yes.
Why? Why?
He's dangerous. A maniac.
That's not the reason. It's because you murdered my father, and you don't want us to know.
All right, Kathy. I did kill him.
Mark!
It doesn't make any difference now. This maniac has planted suspicion in your minds. You would have found out sooner or later.
Mark!
Yes, I killed him. For you, Laura. I loved you. But that's over now. It's been over for a long time. I know what to do now. And it's going to be very simple. Thanks to our friend lying there.
What are you going to do?
Don't you know, Laura? It's so simple. Your bodies must be found in such a condition that they will be certain Damore killed you. And then I'll tell them how I shot the homicidal maniac to protect myself.
It's the same way. He killed my father.
Yes, Kathy.
You won't die, Catherine.
What? Damore.
Did you think you could kill me, Weldon?
Damore.
Do you think those shots will stop me?
Don't you come near me. Stand back.
Nothing will stop me, Weldon.
The gun, it's empty. No, don't. Let go of me.
I saw the bullet strike Damore. They hit him, but they didn't stop him from lurching toward Mark and seizing him by the throat. As they fell to the floor, the kerosene lamp fell off its table. It might have been the wind, but I believe otherwise. I'm almost certain it was my father. In a moment, the drapes were on fire and the whole place was blazing. I screamed to my mother to leave. She ran with me out of the blazing building into the storm that raged outside.
Two weeks later, my mother came into the hotel room where we were staying.
I've just come from the police, Kathy.
Well, Mother?
Only one body is positively identified.
Whose?
Mark's.
The other body?
They haven't been able to find it in the rubble.
I don't believe they ever will.
But, Kathy, the police checked with the authorities at the state institution. It seems that some of the patients did escape at the time they had the fire there 2 years ago. It's possible that Damore was among them.
It's possible, but I doubt it.
You think Damore died 2 years ago?
Yes, Mother. Don't you?
Well, friends, I guess you've met ghosts before, but I'm sure this is the first time you've ever met a crazy spook. Or don't you think Dennis DeMort was a ghost? Well, there's only one way to find out if ghosts really exist. Just ask one to haunt you sometime. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Sanctum has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Inner Sanctum, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 10th of August, 1952, on CBS. That long-running horror program would come to a close in October of that year. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levernier. Thanks for tuning in.